The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com. And you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop. We've got two out of three boys behind the glass. Valdez is here. Mike Mars here. Hanging out this Christmas Eve. Mike Mars is going to be going to church for like 4 hours, apparently.
So are you.
For like a half an hour. I think mine's going to be 2 hours. The Catholics, a Christmas Mass, once it gets going, that's usually going to be an hour.
Yeah.
I just have to be there early because my daughter is singing. Because
she's singing, right. Right.
Singing Silent
Night. So you'll be there from 3:15 to probably 5-ish.
Yeah. 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 Then we'll do dinner. I don't know what we'll do for dinner. See, we're not having anybody over. It's just going to be us.
Yeah. My wife's making a big pasta meal, and we're getting some pizzas delivered. Having people over, you know.
Pizza's delivered. Nice.
Yeah, we're doing it. Well, because there's going to be some kids.
And the tradition of pizza.
You're not doing seven fishes?
No. Seven fish. No, we're not doing seven fishes. But it'll be fun.
Do you open
And we don't have gift? To wake up tomorrow.
Do you open one gift on Christmas Eve? As a kid, we used to do that. Well, we used to do, like, a lot of our Christmases. There were three families that we kind of did holidays with.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go on Christmas Eve to the Ferris household.
Right.
Joe and Jamilia. I was at just at Jamilia's place in D.C. Chevy Chase on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this holiday party, they had a coat check.
Well.
They had a staff of like four or five people. It was like a wedding. They do well. They have a really, really nice house.
Oh, they had a coat check at the house. Good Lord.
Yeah, you showed up and there was like a guy dressed almost like a butler.
Uh-huh.
And they had three or four of them. They had staff with hors d'oeuvres walking around. They had the coat check. They had music. They had a magician.
Jeez.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, we're going to have people over for New Year's, and I hired the singer that you saw at the Italian restaurant.
Scott Clark. Yeah, he's
Scott
good.
Clark. I figured I'd add some live music, and then I went to this party, and my wife's like, we're going to have a coat check. I was like, no, we're not.
No, you're not doing that.
You know what people do? They're going to hand us the coat. We can throw them on the bed,
right.
Or we can put them in the closet, or we can empty out our coat closet.
Throw them on a chair somewhere.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it was
no coat checks. That's ridiculous.
They did it. I mean, it was almost like a wedding.
Yeah.
They had an outdoor tent,
mm-hmm.
and they had a bar there,
right,
with staff. I mean, I didn't count it up. They must have had four or five people there on staff.
That's a big
suits, whatever.
How many people were there? A couple hundred?
No. Oh. Like
50?
40, 50.
Jeez.
And wow. Most of the people, I think their daughter goes to the Murray school. Isn't that like a really expensive
fancy school? Murray is expensive, yeah.
So it's probably all those families.
I went to a party on Friday night. It's my buddy's house, and he's got a great house, great bar, the basement. The basement's huge, but there were so many people there. I was trying to watch the Notre Dame-Indiana games. That was on Friday night, and I was sitting on the couch watching. There were so many people there. People were just kind of mingling in front of the TV, and some of the people I didn't know, I had to say, hey, can you get out of the way? I felt kind of awkward doing that, or I just got up and walked in front of them. But there were so many people there. When you tried to talk to somebody, you had to scream,
right,
because you couldn't hear anybody.
Did you?
And I hate that.
Did you get your dreaded question?
What?
A lot of people will say this to me. Do you have to watch this game because of your job, that sort of thing?
No, I didn't get that question.
It's like you're in the Christmas party. I know you hate the, do you do anything else?
Right.
But I don't.
I haven't gotten that question in a long time.
I've gotten that years and years.
Yeah. I mean,
but the question I get sometimes is,
do you have to have this on? Right.
Like, actually, one of the Christmas parties I went to on Saturday, they had like one of those music channels on, you know, whatever the Christmas music channel that might have like a picture of moving fire or something in the background. And then eventually they put on the game because you had NFL games and college football games going on.
Correct.
And I got that question. Like, you kind of have to watch it. And I kind of wanted to say,
no, I just want to watch
it. I don't know anybody here. Yeah. I'd rather watch the game than talk to these randos and do small talk.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the people there are football fans, so they wanted to watch it anyway. But yeah, man, when you're at a party where you actually have to scream, I had to, you know, I'm so much taller than everybody, most of the people there. I had to lean into, when they're talking, I got to lean into their mouth like this. It's so weird because I couldn't hear them.
Right.
I mean, my hearing isn't great anyway, but, you know, I'm so much taller and there's so many people there talking, you couldn't hear anybody.
We are that age where, like, I think my hearing's pretty good. Cake says he's got bad hearing.
Yeah.
Can't remember. It was somebody that I saw over the weekend at one of these parties, and they're like, I'm deaf in this ear. I'm like, damn.
Sorry. That sucks. Well, that'll be one of us one day.
Probably.
If not multiple. So, right, so that's the question. Are the Commanders good this year? They're 10-5. You know, they got a 93% chance of going to the playoffs based on all the scenarios. Or have they just been overly lucky this year?
So Candace Buckner wrote this article in the Washington Post, and you can chime in at 800-636-1067. And one of the things that did jump out at me, and this is recent, but she writes, are the Commanders lucky or what? And yes, that's what you call it when your defense is staring down Pickett or Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler or Will Levis and not Hurts, Derek Carr, or any decent starting quarterback other than Levis. So what I'd say is, they've been fortunate in some of these matchups that they haven't faced, you know, the tougher quarterbacks. And this starts sometimes in the off season. You know, when I was talking about the Houston Texans turnaround and saying it was possible for Washington, one of the factors is when you are terrible, like they were last year at 4-13, you end up with a softer schedule. So schedule is part of the equation. And then injuries, it's always going to be part of the equation. I would lean towards good versus lucky. Have they been lucky? Yes. The Bears game, that's a lucky win. You won on a Hail Mary. You run that play 10 times, you'd be lucky to hit it one time. All right? I said lucky to hit it once.
Right. I'd say one out of 100.
It's like, but overall, I think we talked about this yesterday. You're talking about a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have guys like T.J. Watt on the defense or Myles Garrett. They don't have these top-tier guys who are difference-makers on defense. But Luvu's been excellent all season. The defense overall, number 10. They've brought in Marshon Lattimore, whatever. He didn't have a great game on Sunday. But they have a, let's just call it a pretty good defense. Or even if you want to say an okay defense. And then on the other side of the ball, they've got Jaden Daniels.
Right.
And they appear to have good coaching. Dan Quinn's been good. I think we're impressed with Cliff Kingsbury. So if I had to vote, like binary, are they lucky or good? I would say good. Do I think they're great?
No.
I don't put them in the elite teams. But look, they just knocked off the Eagles. People would say, well, Jalen Hurts wasn't there for the whole game.
He played 10 plays.
Yeah, Devontae Smith drop, whatever. They still put up 36 points against the number one defense in the league. I think you have to be pretty good to do that.
There are three plays this year that I look at and go, all right, that they've been really fortunate. One was the Malik Nabers drop on 4th and 4 when the game is tied 2 minutes to go. It's 4th and 4.
So the Giants could have won that game.
Giants, if Nabers catches that ball, it's a first down, and they're going to drain the clock. And
remember, they don't have their kicker.
That's true.
Which they were lucky that they didn't have their kicker.
That's true. That's another reason they were lucky, right? I still like the chances of the Giants winning if Nabers catches it. Number two, the Hail Mary, you've already talked about that. And then number three, I don't know if I'll go Hurts getting the concussion or Devontae Smith dropping the ball, but if Devontae catches that ball, the chances of them winning that game go up, you know, tremendously. So there are three plays right there this year. But again, like you said, you got to take advantage of it. You could probably look at any team right now in the NFL and go, all right, well, they got lucky in that game. You could pick out three or four plays for any team. But they've been very fortunate. playing a lot of the backups and these bad quarterbacks. They've only beaten, in my opinion, they've only beaten one good quarterback, and that's Joe Burrow. Everybody else, they've either lost to or they've played backups. They beat backups. But I don't know. But they've taken advantage of it, too. I mean, they got 10 wins. After last year, you take it.
800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, you're on with the Junks. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Thank you. Yeah, I think they've been lucky. I mean, they've been lucky. They're good. I think they're solid. They're solid.
Right.
You know, we've been lucky. But here's the thing. We're playing with a rookie quarterback with not that many weapons.
Right.
So even though we've beaten these teams as backups, I mean, at the end of the day, we have a new coach. We have a rookie quarterback. Not that many stars on the field. We've had some injuries on the line. And, you know, Eckler and different guys that's been in and out of the lineup. Jaden Daniels was hurt for a few games. So, I mean, everybody, look, I'm not comparing us to Kansas City, but Kansas City been lucky this year.
Sure.
They should have at least three or four losses maybe. But
right.
I think every team has luck. We've been fortunate. We've been fortunate that we played against who we played. But at the end of the day, you got to win these games.
Yeah.
I agree. And they've had bad luck, too. I mean, your kicker misses an extra point in the Cowboys game.
Yep.
It can go the other way.
Oh, and then the Pittsburgh game, the spot.
Yeah.
And then jumping off sides. And, yeah, I know. Like I said, you can look at any team and go through their roster and go, all right, well, they got lucky here. They're unlucky.
I think the word lucky can be triggering for some people. It's kind of taking away your accomplishments for the season. But if I, like, as a fan of the Ravens, I'm jealous of the good fortune that some teams have.
Well,
over
you got to make
teams.
Your luck. Like
that's also part of it.
I said the Devontae Smith play, when it happened, it felt like this could be the biggest play of the game, because had he caught it, the Commanders don't get the ball back. But that's not a given that you win the game, because Jaden Daniels still had to drive them down the field and throw a touchdown pass. Let's go to Darnell, Hampton Roads. Darnell, what do you think?
Hey, good morning. How y'all fellas doing?
What's up, bro?
All right. Hey, I think it's a disrespect that anybody or any game or any franchise by saying they lucky. What do everybody think? We are leprechauns? We eating a box of Lucky Charms every morning? No, we are good. It's a disrespect. You could not go in the locker room and ask any guy on any team, were you lucky that you won this game? They're going to disagree. Mm-hmm. Them guys work hard. These are pros. They have their imperfections by not catching the ball, but these are pros. They work hard on that football field. So I take the lucky thing, throw it in the garbage, because it's a disrespect.
Appreciate it, Darnell.
Thank you, Darnell. Merry Christmas.
You still have to make the plays after the drop, which they did. And Jalen Hurts going out, I would say you're fortunate. Maybe you call it a lucky break, but that's not a given that you win the game. Let's go to Josh in D.C. Josh, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Josh.
Hey. Yeah, so, I mean, you don't get lucky and get 10 wins by luck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're dialing stuff in at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, all the teams that we played, the heavy hitting teams, we stayed in there. You know what I mean? We were competitive the whole time, and, like, mm-hmm. we got blown out, you know? So, hey, the Eagles, who they played for the last 20 years? We had nothing but bum quarterbacks for the last 20 years. You know what I mean? So the one of the Giants and the Eagles has always beaten us. But now, you know, the tables have turned. Like, look, the storm has lifted in D.C. Like, I'm 37, and then I've been dealing with the Patrick Ramseys, the Shane Matthews, the, you know, all the bumps, and I'm just happy to see this team win in the moments that he needs to win. Like, look at all the breathtaking wins that he has, you know, fourth quarter, you know, 6 seconds. Hail Mary. Like, you can't even write stuff like this. A whole turnaround of the team. Straight professionals from top to bottom. This is what happens when everything is firing all cylinders. And when you win Super Bowls, you can't even name everybody on the team. This team is putting in the right work at the right time, and I think we're getting hot. And we just got to keep the heat rolling.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
I do kind of agree. At this point in the season, it's 15 games. They're 10-5.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're lucky in the Bears game to get a win, but it kind of balances itself out. You'll have some good luck in some games, some good calls. You'll have some bad luck in other games, bad calls. I always think it kind of evens itself out.
But if you're looking at just one play, a Hail Mary is extremely lucky.
No doubt about it.
So that's one win. So if you look at the schedule and go, all right, well, they should really be 9-6 right now, based on how unsuccessful the Hail Mary play is. But they got it done. You know?
Let's go to our pal Dre in Manassas. Andre, Merry Christmas.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I got to say, you know, it's a pretty simple question, man. You don't luck, you'll win 10 games. I think I heard or read someplace where someone defined luck as when opportunity meets preparedness. And, you know, everybody, I remember after that Hail Mary, everyone was talking, all the analysts said the Commanders played it beautifully. They did exactly what they needed to do. So the opportunity presented themselves, and the team was prepared. So,
that's a great point.
I mean, I know some people call that as luck, but they were definitely prepared for that. And, you know, after 20, 25 years of just straight losing, again, as any franchise in the world should know, you know, there's a difference between luck and being good. We should know that because we just haven't been good. So this team is a good team. And like you said, JP, they're not a great team yet. That comes next year, but they're a good team. Having said all of that, I know it's Christmas. You guys were talking about Netflix movies. Jay, Bishop, I know you and I are big fans of Linus.
Yep.
Netflix has the show, Gangs of London. I'm telling you, man.
Gangs of London?
I'm going to check it out.
I've been telling you guys for this 2 years, man.
Okay, Gangs of London. I think you have. You're right. I got to check that out. Merry Christmas, Andre. Thank you, Andre.
I think he brings up a great point about just the Hail Mary. The dichotomy of the two coaches, and Eberflus ultimately gets fired after that game, where Quinn said every play was important, including the pass before the Hail Mary where they got yardage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the Hail Mary, it didn't even get into the end zone. It was to about the, right. I don't know, four-yard line.
It's a long throw, yeah.
And got tipped back.
Right.
Well, if you don't have those 10 yards or however many yards it was before on the pass before,
you got no
you're
shot.
Not in position right. for that Hail Mary. And Eberflus was like, well, it was just about the Hail Mary.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought he was a clown when he said it at the time. Like, the other plays didn't matter?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yes, I get it. If you knock down the Hail Mary, it's irrelevant. But the other plays did matter, and he's right. You get yourself in position to get lucky.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt even this week. Were you fortunate that Jalen Hurts is out? Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what? Luvu drilled him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you don't root for an injury, but now you're in a position where you're facing Kenny Pickett. Now you're in a position where your defense can shut down Saquon Barkley. It's not a given, but the defense did shut down Saquon Barkley pretty much for three quarters after that long run.
I won't use the word lucky. They've been fortunate in a lot of these games with certain instances and plays and, you know, injuries and stuff like that. But again, they also, if you look at the roster, they weren't expected to do this.
No.
No one thought Jaden Daniels would be this good. So they certainly are better than anybody expected. And to take advantage of those breaks, a lot of teams can't do that. And they've been able to do it.
More of your calls next at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies talking about this article in the Washington Post written by Candace Buckner. The Commanders have been plenty good and a little lucky. That's the truth, but we want to get your take on it. Are they more good or are they more lucky? Let's go back to the phones. Eric is in Brandywine. Eric, Merry Christmas. What's going on?
Hey, Merry Christmas, Junks. How y'all doing this morning?
What's good. Up, bro? Merry Christmas.
Good, good. So listen, man, and I was listening to all of the callers calling in. I think that when you prepare a team for situations, it's not luck. They are prepared. I think Dan Quinn and the coaches, they've done a fabulous job of preparing these guys for situations, even when they are losing or behind or they've lost games. If you notice, they always feel like they're in the moment. They're always in the game. That's preparation. So when you have that kind of preparation, you don't need luck. So it's not a surprise to you when different scenarios or situations happen in game. They're ready for that because they prepared for that. So that's just my take. When you have that kind of preparation, and if you think about it, in game, you know, changes that's been made. Ron Rivera, the old regime, they never seem to be prepared for situations.
That's a great point, Eric.
Where this team is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and going back to the previous call, they were prepared in the Hail Mary. And the game-winning touchdown, I think this past week, Jaden said that they practiced that play with Jamison Crowder on Friday.
Right, right. He makes good points. I think, but when you look at any team, I think you have to, some of these teams are just dominant and they're better than Washington player for player, but like, you know, Detroit, I'm sure they've had some fortunate breaks, but they've also earned a lot of those wins. Kansas City, yeah, they've had some breaks, but they're also taking advantage of those, and they've got a history of doing it and winning. But this year, it's been a combination of a couple things.
Let's go to Tony in Clinton. Tony, you're on with the Junks. Merry Christmas.
Hey, what's good, fellas? Look, my question is this. Is my definition, a good team beats the team that's beats the teams they're supposed to beat, right? Elite teams will beat good teams. Yep. But the good teams beat the people they're supposed to beat. Who have we lost to that we were supposed to beat, other than Dallas. Maybe that bad Dallas game?
Dallas. Yeah, definitely Dallas.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only. That's really the only game. Everybody else, they're teams that have been in place for a long time. Systems been in place for a long time. Quarterback been in place for a long time. And we were in those games. They talking about the drops with the Giants and drops with Smith today. Yep. What about the drops that we had with Noah Brown last against the first Philly game? If he makes a couple catches, we win that game. What about the fact that we couldn't catch a pass versus Pittsburgh at all, and we lost by one? So everything people say about us in our wins, the same thing can be said that we did in our losses.
That's what I said before. Yeah. Usually evens itself out, right? You're going to have some bad calls along the way, but you're also going to have calls that are going to go for you, and generally – speaking, it evens it out. We're 15 games in. It's not a small sample size.
And look, in the Carolina game, our quarterback went out on the first drive. We still hung 41.
Right.
So it's like, and Carolina's not as bad as we think. We thought that Carolina was just an awful team, but now that we're looking at them, they're not as bad as we thought they were.
Hold on. But at that time, they were really bad. And remember, Bryce Young wasn't playing in that game.
Yeah, but the point is, we our backup quarterback came in and we still put 41 points in the game and kept it rolling.
Correct.
So it's not like we haven't been in a similar circumstance. Just so happened it was Carolina, but we played a game without our quarterback finishing the game in the same way Philly did. So everything that can be said against us can be said for us and back in every other team. So 10 wins is 10 wins, man.
Great point.
Good point.
Yeah, I think 15 games in, you kind of know what you are. Mm. I mean, they added a game to the regular season, so it's a 17-game season. But basically, they played a complete season.
Yeah.
10-5, that feels like what they are, like the seventh team right now in the playoffs. I don't think – can they win some playoff games? Sure. Anything can happen. But it feels like the elite teams in the NFC, Detroit and Philly, and maybe Green Bay's got to be in there. The Vikings definitely in there.
Yeah.
And then there's a drop-off. But those four teams – you know, the Rams and the Rams are going to win their division.
Probably.
Either Atlanta or Tampa is going to win the division.
Correct.
They don't feel like they're in the class with the four that I just mentioned.
Probably not. But
Washington could definitely win because they just did it.
But, I mean, some of those teams like Atlanta and the Rams have beaten some of those teams that are ahead of them. So
you think they're better than Washington?
I don't know if they're better than Washington. If we did a power ranking, see, since Washington did beat Philly, they got that signature win. Before that, since they didn't have it, I would have put those other teams ahead because they had better wins. And I put a lot into head-to-head, even though that was week one when Tampa beat Washington. But Washington proved a lot to a lot of people by beating Philly in the way they did.
And sure, Candace Buckner in the Washington Post points out that they did beat Kenny Pickett and Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and Will Levis. But a lot of those other teams face the same guys, too. They're not all facing Lamar Jackson every week.
That's correct. You could look at any team and go, all right, they were lucky to win here, but they were unlucky to lose here.
Let's go out to D.C. Paul, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? How y'all guys doing?
What's up? Merry Christmas.
My father coached in the NBA for almost 20 years, and he coached the Wizards for 4 or 5. And one of the things he used to always say, sometimes it's just better to be lucky than good. At the end of the day, you got to win what you got to win. I'm glad the other caller called. I was hoping you guys took me first because he took my thunder. When you look at the Pittsburgh game, Mike Wallace wasn't even supposed to be in that game. The guy got hurt, and you wind up getting that touchdown. So just like we got lucky, they got lucky. We don't have a bad loss on our resume. We have Philly did to center. If we had just kicked the field goal, we'd have been up 13-12. The defense was playing lights out that game, okay? And then you look at the Steelers and the Ravens. The only game that really was dominant was the Ravens. Okay, and that's a playoff team. The Steelers and the Ravens are playing for the AFC North. You look at Tampa Bay, they're in the race for the NFC South.
Yep.
So where's the bad loss outside of Dallas, which is our biggest rivalry, and you can throw the records out the play with that. Just like when we play them, they went 0-14 and they beat us.
Yep.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about a dollar. If our kicker had kicked the extra point, who's to say we don't win that game in overtime because we had all the momentum at that point. Yep. So, we really don't have a bad loss on our resume, and Kenny Pickett started for the Pittsburgh Steelers and was a first-round pick.
Look, Pickett made enough plays. We talked about this yesterday. Pickett made enough plays to win the game. Did he have an interception? Yes. But he had a drop, not only the drop from Devontae Smith, which maybe would have sealed the deal, big drop from Saquon Barkley, which would have been a big play. He had a first down, would have been a first down pass to A.J. Brown. Now, that wasn't a great pass.
Right.
Maybe a little bit behind him, but NFL receivers
catchable.
Catch that.
Catchable. Especially if you're A.J. Brown.
He went down with it.
I would agree with that.
So, always forget, he's called before. Who was his pops? Coach in the NBA.
Eddie Jordan? Was that Eddie Jordan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it Eddie Jordan?
I think it was.
I think you're right. Let's go to Dustin in Annapolis. Dustin, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Hey, Merry Christmas Eve, guys.
What's up, buddy? Merry Christmas Eve to you.
You know, these guys touched on it, but, you know, being prepared is important, but you got to have talent, too. We have the talent to be prepared enough to be lucky enough. You know, you start getting these plays where it comes, the game's with, you know, it's within inches, they say, right? Well, that's pretty much every play can be within a few inches here or there. And you go up against the Pittsburgh game where we didn't get the first down and they marked it a yard short. Mm-hmm. We could have had a field goal to go tie it. You know, and then you got the Cowboys game. It'd win it, yeah.
Yeah.
And you got the Cowboys game where extra point at the end of the game, tie it, go into overtime, we probably would have won that. So, I mean, people that say that, they're just looking for a headline and, you know, we're lucky. But in the NFL, you got to be prepared, skilled, and, yeah, there's some luck. But that's every play almost. I would say every play has luck.
Thanks, pal.
All right,
Merry Christmas. Let's go to Deacon in D.C. Deacon, you're on with the Junks.
Any given Sunday, stroke of luck, the 12th man. All of those cliches kick in today, baby. Uh-huh. Look, it's no question that we took the opportunity to whoop that ass me a question. You understand? Can you smell what they're cooking? Listen, the 12th man is not the 12th man. It's any given Sunday. In the infamous words of Steve Sable, any given Sunday, dude, this is a game of inches. Stop playing with me. This is our time. Have you ever heard of the word destiny? Which way does a river flow? Forward. You never see a river flow backwards.
A lot of cliches.
I don't really know what that meant. A lot of cliches.
But good job, Deacon. Good
Started
job, brother.
Doing a river runs through it.
I think Deacon called yesterday.
Okay.
Or... yeah, maybe yesterday.
I mean, I think we agree. They're a pretty good team that's been a little lucky. But you got to make your luck. And I think the people that called in about preparation, you can point to the Hail Mary play. You can point to a lot of things. This coaching staff has this team prepared for all situations.
I agree.
And they have a guy in JD5 and Jaden Daniels that can deliver the goods.
Correct.
They haven't had a guy who can deliver the goods in years and years.
The last thing I'm going to say is there's no way that this, the only reason they're in the playoff hunt is because they're lucky. They've had some breaks and some big ones, but every team has.
Coming up next, Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports joins us here on the Junks. Quick shout out to our guy, Ryan Keel, longtime friend of the show, used to play for the Washington Redskins then, became a long snapper, was in the league for years, said he was listening to us in the gym, and he pretty much agrees with us. He said, we used to look at it this way. How many games were we lucky to win versus unlucky to lose? Maybe they've been fortunate in three games this year, probably unfortunate in a game somewhere along the way.
Yep.
Usually balances out. All right, we're going to talk to our pal Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. He was actually at the Falcons game. Of course, Commanders face the Falcons next.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Penix's debut as a starter. What's up, Jay?
How are you, gentlemen? Happy Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
How was kind of the Kirk Cousins experience overall in Atlanta? It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so disappointing because you got to think of, in Atlanta, it's two ways to think of Kirk Cousins. I mean, he came in with all the right attitude. He really endeared himself to the community. You know, he's a little bit of a dad, a little bit of a dork. He was all over, like, the, you know, the Atlanta magazine on the cover and everything. But then the play was just abysmal. I mean, particularly toward the end of his tenure, it was just, you couldn't defend it no matter what. You wanted so badly, if you were a Falcons fan, to find some kind of hope, but it just became clear that for whatever reason, whether it's injury, whether it's age, whether it's the scheme, he just was not a fit for what they were trying to do in Atlanta, and mistakes just kept piling up. So, you know, it was not a situation where you could get necessarily angry at the human being, but you could definitely be angry at the way that the situation unfolded on the field.
Are they going to just outright release him, or will they keep him as an experienced backup to Penix?
I think that he'll be released later on. I mean, the contract provisions are pretty arcane, but it looks like the way that it'll happen will be something like with Russell Wilson, where Atlanta is basically going to be paying the tab for next season for a team to pick him up for a low rate. And it might be Cleveland. It might be, who knows who it might be. But
right.
Yes, I don't see Cousins in an Atlanta uniform next year.
Wow. All right. So you were at the game, Michael Penix's first start. Now it was against the dreadful Giants. Giants are just awful to watch.
Yes.
And a lot of the teams have just totally given up and they're not playing anybody. I mean, you saw what happened last night to the Saints. But just talk about Penix and your thoughts on how he played.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You have to kind of condition it saying that this was against the Giants, who, you know, might not have even made the college football playoff this year. So You've got to take that right from the start. But he looked confident and assured in the pocket. He wasn't asked to do a whole lot. But he did what he did do. He did well. He didn't take any sacks. The one interception that he had was a classic, not his fault interception. Kyle Pitts basically coughed it up. You've seen that video.
Yep.
He did in the limited amount that he was asked to do. He did just fine. Had a little bit of scrambling. What you saw immediately was that his arm strength was much greater than Cousins, that he was able to run these play-action plays and put some zip on the ball that Cousins had not been able to do. And I think that opens up things for Atlanta a great deal in terms of being able to look further downfield and have a little bit more motion in the pocket than Cousins did.
Can you talk about just how much better you think the offense will be? Now, this is a huge game for Atlanta. It's not as big for Washington as it would have been if they had lost to the Eagles. Washington's got about a 91% chance of making the postseason based on all the scenarios. But it's still, you know, if they lose out and Atlanta and Tampa win out, then they're out. So it's still a big game, just not as big as it is for Atlanta. So talk about how big this game is for Atlanta. They have the tiebreaker over Tampa. Tampa's got a really easy schedule in the next two. But just talk about your expectations of what the offense might look like on the road in Penix's first road start.
Yes, it's a great question. It's a great issue. You hit on the key point for Atlanta. This is, it's not yet do or die, but given how easy Tampa Bay's schedule is, they've got New Orleans and Carolina to close out the year. It makes it a much, much more crucial game for Atlanta to win this one, because you've got to assume that Tampa Bay is going to win both of theirs. So, yeah, I think that what we'll see out of Atlanta is a lot of running. I mean, Washington's run defense is not that great, isn't it? It's one of the worst in the league, and Atlanta has a good, strong running game. You're going to see that, obviously, because you want to rely on that more from a young quarterback necessarily than having him throw the ball all over the place. It's going to be a little bit difficult for Washington to diagnose what exactly Michael Penix is able to do, because they don't have any tape on it except for one game against the Giants. There's not much to work with there. So it's going to be interesting to see how Washington is able to handle that. On the other side of the ball, Washington has a huge advantage over Atlanta's defense. Jaden Daniels shouldn't have any trouble picking apart the Atlanta secondary. So this is, I'm not saying this is necessarily going to be a shootout in terms of scoring, but if Atlanta wants to win this game, they've got to rely heavily on their run offense and then make sure that they can somehow contain Daniels, which, as we know, is a challenge all in itself.
Talking to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. So I saw in one of your latest columns, it was kind of a year in review, and you were talking about things that have changed, and we were having a conversation earlier about college football. What'd you make of the first weekend of the college football playoffs? Obviously, the games themselves were kind of duds.
Yeah. I mean, but I think reseeding will fix a whole lot of the problems. I mean, I think it was tremendous fun seeing the atmosphere at those games, you know, seeing how it played out at Penn State, at Ohio State, at Texas. All of these games were so much fun to watch with the atmosphere of the home audience. I'd love to see home crowd. I'd love to see that happen for another round. I'm not sure that it will, because there's just too much money to be made, and also there are logistical concerns. But I think that if you can reseed the teams, that you don't have, like, you know, an Arizona State and a Boise State necessarily getting a bye and having these sort of unbalanced games early on. I think that that's going to be a lot better for the field. I expect to see that further on down the line. I also think we're going to expand to 16 teams. I think that's inevitable, which may lead to some more of these dud games. But, you know, to be fair, a whole lot of the previous college football games were playoff games were duds as well. I mean, just think back to the Georgia game a few years ago where they beat Texas Christian, 63-7, something like that.
Right.
So there's no guarantee that the best teams, the teams that end up in the championship, are going to have a great game. And there's even less of a guarantee that once you get further down in the bracket that you'll have great games. But I think the fact that we have it makes it a whole lot of fun for everyone involved.
So you're down there in Atlanta, and obviously that's Georgia Bulldog country outside of, you know, Georgia Tech. But your thoughts on the Georgia-Notre Dame game, and, of course, the big story is when Carson Beck got hurt in the SEC championship game, Gunnar Stockton came in, and he was pretty good. Now, Gunnar Stockton has not played a ton of football, but he was pretty good in that particular game. He was 12 for 16. He did throw a pick, and he was sacked a few times, but he was able to beat them, make some plays, make enough plays to beat Texas. And so your thought in Gunnar Stockton starting against Texas or against Notre Dame as opposed to Carson Beck, who got hurt?
Yeah, it's a tremendous good fortune for Georgia that they got these extra weeks. You know, if they had to play immediately, a quick turnaround, I think it would have been a different story. But Kirby Smart, I mean, you know, this Stockton kid is not going to have a Christmas. He's not going to have a Christmas Eve. He's going to be working the entire time. Kirby Smart will have him as prepared as he can possibly be. And it's not like he's, you know, some Friday Night Lights kid pulled out of the stands to play. He's, you know, he's a strong quarterback, a strong backup. He's been watching this all unfold for several years now at Georgia, and he understands what goes on in the program and how to handle these situations. He had that kind of baptism by fire there in the Texas game, and that worked out perfectly well. I mean, an interesting what-if scenario is, what if Georgia had gotten blown out in that game and had lost based on the Florida State, precedent from last year? Georgia might have missed the playoffs entirely. Instead, they've got a bye into the second round. So I think that it'll be fine. Georgia's deep enough that, across the board that they can take a little bit of the pressure off the quarterback. But yeah, it is going to be a situation where if he's asked to pass and he's having trouble, he could have a Carson Beck-esque situation from earlier this year, throwing picks and flipping the game around. It's going to be a lot more fun, or a lot more not fun for Georgia fans, I should say, but it's going to be a lot closer game than we had expected it to be.
Oh yeah.
Hey, going back to the NFL, you wrote about this recently about the amount of football that we have here around Christmas. Of course, tomorrow you've got two games. I don't know if Jay Busby likes that, but it seems like almost every day, you know, you got games on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like you guys, you know, and no one wants to hear the sports media complain, but from a fan standpoint, sure, you know, it's good to have a football game on all the time in the background. And I do wonder about oversaturation if we start to miss a couple of those games. You know, you don't pay as much attention. I'll freely admit I was watching the college more than the NFL on Saturday, but there doesn't seem to be a ceiling. I'm writing right now a column that's going to go live later on today about how Netflix is having a big gamble with the NFL right now, what this could mean for Netflix and for NFL fans going forward, the big two-game day tomorrow. So it's a new NFL environment. It's a new streaming environment. You know, as fans, we're going to have to get used to a whole different way of watching football, but it could work out well, or it could be a little too much of a good thing.
Hmm. Hey, are the Rams good? They've actually won four in a row.
Yeah, I know. And they've won it. They won in different ways. That's the thing. You can't quite figure out this Rams team out. I mean, they played one of the most boring games I've ever seen a couple weeks ago against San Francisco on Thursday night. Yeah. They go and they absolutely get into a scoring duel with Buffalo a couple weeks ago. Then they play this ugly little game against New York last weekend against the Jets. I don't know. I mean, they win, so that's what you want. And if they can win in different ways, that seems to speak well for them. But it seems like they're one of those classic teams where you're not quite sure what you're going to get out of them. But as long as they keep piling up wins, it's good for them.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, Ricky Henderson, I had a mutual friend who was a friend of Ricky's as well. And about, I collect these Sports Illustrated covers. And I asked him, I said, can you get Ricky to sign my Sports Illustrated cover for me? He said, I'll do more than that. I'll get you a bat. So he signed my Sports Illustrated, and I'm guessing this was probably 15 years ago, maybe longer. And he also gave me one of his bats that he used from like 1980. And I've got that in my closet just in case a burglar comes in and I can pound him with the Ricky Henderson bat. But talk about Ricky. He was a fantastic player, fantastic to watch. People who didn't watch him in his prime, you got to go back and YouTube him. He was just an incredible, dynamic runner and hitter. But just talk about Ricky Henderson. And have they announced the cause of death?
They have not. Not to my knowledge. I mean, there was a lot of speculation, over, as you know, over the fact whether he even passed or not. And that's always, it's always tough to see when you start those rumors coming out. But yeah, I mean, focusing on his life, he was a singular guy. He was kind of Deion Sanders before there was Deion in terms of being all about himself, talking about himself in the third person. But the thing about Ricky Henderson that you just can't get anymore is that he did it all. He was that good. He was an amazing leadoff batter. He was an amazing base runner. He was an amazing egotist, but he carried through on all of it. And it made him so much fun. He wasn't overexposed, but I remember, always wanting to see him. I grew up in Atlanta, always wanting to see him in the All-Star game and see what Ricky Henderson was going to do against the National League, because that was the only time that we could see him back in the day. So, yeah, it's a tremendous loss for baseball, but we're lucky to have had him when we did.
It was kind of a crazy career because of how many teams he played for and how long he played. I mean, if he was playing now, he probably would just be, if he hit free agency, he would sign some huge contract. But, he'd sign a 10-year deal or a 12-year deal. But back in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, they didn't do that. But he played for, I don't know how many different teams, 5, 6, 7 teams.
Wasn't he playing for like independent league teams and, like beer league softball teams? And just, he was doing all kinds of, he was just anybody that would sign him, he would play for him. But, to all of us who know him, he's always an Oakland A.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jay, appreciate the time, buddy. Have a great holiday, and we will talk to you. So maybe we'll talk to you before the playoffs, especially if Atlanta's in there.
Looking forward to it. Take care, guys.
Okay, buddy.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. All right, it's the holidays. Coming up next, I wanted to throw this out to Commanders fans. We all have our Christmas wish lists.
Yep.
Christmas wish lists.
Mm-hmm.
I think I botched the plural there. What would your wish be for the Commanders heading into the playoffs? Realistic. Not something like they need a number one wide receiver to go alongside Terry McLaurin. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But something that is realistic that can happen here down the stretch, something maybe somebody getting healthy, solidified. What do you wish for Christmas for the Washington Commanders? 800-636-1067. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.